あ、ここいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ？どこにいるのかな？ね、見えない。
What's good, Internet? It's Friday, July 24th, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 330. I'm your host, Austin Walker, joined by Rob Zachney.
Hello, hello.
Gita Jackson.
Sup.
Carter Contreras.
Yo.
And Patrick Klepek.
This is the podcast where we're going to talk about why Rob was playing Alien Isolation last week, right? That's what we're...
I played some of that a couple weeks ago, and I just didn't bring it up on the podcast. So
wow, okay.
Wait, I thought it was Shift. Wasn't that the one we were talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I was Shift. Playing both. Kind of.
Good.
Rob had it in our Slack like his first day back. He was like, writing about Alien Isolation, not sure where it's gonna go. And I was like, this is right. just pure Rob Zachney.
That's pure Rob Zachney. That's honestly, can we get a spinoff pod that's just like a daily dose of Rob Zachney?
Pure Rob Zachney.
Oh my god, I need that
it's
so
just
badly.
Like a 5 to 10 minute long.
No,
dude,
kick Zac Efron.
That was supposed to be waypoints, but then that became too heavy a lift.
Yeah, kick Zac Efron off his travel show and give it to Rob.
God, I saw clips of that going around, and he seems like he's having fun, I guess.
He seems like he. Yeah.
I don't
Zac
know
Efron.
Anything about that man. I don't know shit about him. I'm not, you know, who could say?
He seems fine.
He's very
you know?
Funny.
He seems like he probably just smokes a lot of weed.
That's
it just
my
seems like what his deal is, yeah. Essentially.
Yeah. Kato, is it true that this is going to be the 500th thing in the Waypoint Radio feed?
Jesus Christ, is it?
I thought I saw someone post that the last episode was $4.99, which is
no
wild.
Way. God
there's,
damn it.
There's a way. We put a lot of shit in this feed, my guy. So, if so, thank you to everyone who has stuck with us over the last few years. And there's no way to better celebrate having 500 things in a feed than to talk about a big company's game press showcase.
No,
time
it's
to feed
100%
on
the 500th
content.
Thing in this feed.
Nah, I thought it was. I thought so. I thought so. It is what it is. Today we are going to talk about the Microsoft Xbox showcase, the Xbox... I guess it's just called the Xbox Showcase, right? Because they didn't tie it necessarily to new hardware. Many of the games they showed will be cross-gen, though not everything, certainly. And they showed kind of a lot. I think I'm a little more positive on this thing than I was on the Sony thing, but not because I think it was better. Just because I think it hit. There are a few more games that hit my personal taste core. If that makes sense. I don't know how y'all...
Yeah, there were a couple of a word moments.
Yeah, exactly. I know that people had those for the Sony ones. It's just that we have different a word centers. We have different things,
yes.
You know?
yeah.
But I'm curious what y'all thought about this event, high level.
So I experienced it my default way of experiencing presentations like this before I became a video game journalist, which was watching everyone react to it on Twitter
because I
was writing this morning. But it was really fun to do that, unlike the PlayStation one, where I felt like even the jokes were more like, I'm bored and I'm just goofing off. This one, it felt like every time I looked back on Twitter to take a little break from the draft I was writing, which if you're listening to this tomorrow, it was an article about Alita Battle Angel. Movie slaps, but every time I'd chop back in, it was like, oh, word, they're doing that game? They're going to come back with that game? And I realized, like, there are a lot more games in the Microsoft family of games that I care about than I thought I did. I was really surprised by my reaction to, like, Fable existing again.
Yeah, that was, like, such, like, like many things, that didn't have a date on it. Who knows when that comes out? Who knows what that even is, right? It's obviously a new team or different team than the folks who made the past Fable games. My belief is that Molyneux is nowhere near this thing. And I'm curious what that, you know, that was their kind of, like, show closer, one more thing. And I know there's lots of Fable heads out there who are probably just excited about being... recognized and knowing for sure that something is coming.
Fable
for them.
2 and 3 were Fable. Those are good games. I enjoyed them quite a bit. I didn't play the original one on Xbox. I didn't watch it. What is it? The whole thing was like you can watch a tree grow for days. Was like that was
Fable
part of the original
was like
pitch
such
of that
like a
game.
Love hate series for me in that I really loved the first Fable, and I think generally they all have some interesting systemic stuff going on, and also I think that they're kind of. Really flat in areas, and like there's a lot of bad jokes and there's a lot of like fine jokes, but I really like the time jumpy stuff in Fable 2. I think like it's cool when a game is willing to not just be like a very linear, like, all right, here you go, top to bottom. You clear out this entire map and then it's good. And they did some fun stuff with the way that like the world progressed based on your decisions across the time jumpy stuff.
But if the reservation was about the jokes being weak, I think building the entire trailer around a fairy getting eaten by a frog doesn't bode well. No. For
that's really, but like, you know, but to be fair, to like that is Fable, like that is that from the beginning.
No, I get it.
Tonally consistent with that whole franchise's like humor shtick.
I mean, the good news is there
could arguably be called Shrek adjacent if one wanted to.
Why do Europeans love this shit? Europeans.
Well, you know, I'm not sure I was going that direction, but
they're gonna at you.
Oh my god!
Explain Jerry Lewis. Explain Fable.
Oh my god!
Those two things I want to know about. What is it about someone saying pretty ladies that you guys love?
Jerry Lewis is a very popular American comedian. He was popular here too. Anyway, the good news is that there were two other big fantasy RPG type things, it looks like, that also, like, if I don't want that style of fantasy, there was also the new Obsidian game that was announced, which was, what was that called? Avowed?
Skyrim?
Which looks like Obsidian does a Skyrim, Obsidian does an Elder Scrolls, ?
Obsidian, Kato quietly in there with the shade.
It looked like Obsidian does one scene from Lord of the Rings. That's kind of what it looked like. Remember at the end,
that dude had a glowy hand and a sword.
Uh-huh.
He was ready to cast an entry-level flame spell. It was like a purple spell, so not a flame spell, whatever. And then had a magic sword that he got from
an ineffectual spellcaster with a magic sword. Who does that remind me of? Could it be Gandalf?
Okay. Oh my god. Are we really calling Gandalf ineffectual?
Wow.
Nobody can see the gray? Devilish Maybe. Glee that Rob has on his face
Rob the Gandalf hater. Who knew? But like, okay, I want Obsidian to make me one of those. Sure, let's try it, you know? And then more importantly for me, I think for me the whoa, what is this game of the show was Everwild, the new game from Rare. Which had some of the best black hair I've seen in games recently, but also just had some incredible creature design. This was just kind of like a really painterly beautiful thing about like wandering around the world with cool animals who help you get, you know, who use their giant furry tails to drop trees so you can get the fruit off of them or whatever. And there's like a whole ritual of bringing a little deer creature back to life, but it looks like maybe they made that deal with maybe a malignant, you know, otherworldly supernatural force. Hard to say. I have no idea what this game is. But I'm here for what it looks like, and I'm curious after Sea of Thieves what Rare does. It looks like it'll be a multiplayer thing. There's a lot of characters like working together on things, and if they take that style of collaborative play from Sea of Thieves and put it in a world like this, I'm all the way here for it. So. I don't know. Those are the kind of big standouts in that fantasy space for me. Rob, Patrick, Kato, what jumped out for you?
I don't. I came away pretty meh from both the PS5 and the Xbox showcases. I think part of that is because of the industry expectation that's been built in over covering this industry and like playing games in this industry for decades at this point. In which, what you're meant to expect is at a generational pivot point, there's going to be a vision of what the quote-unquote future is that represents some sort of leap in what we can do in games that is tied to why we need a new hardware cycle. And I think what is increasingly – now, this is a weird year. COVID is wrecking – has fundamentally changed what these presentations, from what I understand, were going to be and what they are. Like, there's a reason each one is like, and we'll see ya in a couple of months. Like, these are like part
with
one.
With another one of these, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot of long-term reveals have been pushed off, and a lot of things that weren't in here that were originally going to be in here. So there's a little bit of that. But I think it's also exposed, like, not a lie, but I think it's just like less true these days, which is that there's nothing magical about the technology that they are selling you that is going to unlock new gameplay paradigms. To a certain degree, that was true, right? Like, from the NES to the SNES, like, such an enormous graphical leap that actually fundamentally changed how you played games. Like, from the 16-bit era to the 32-bit era, like, going to 3D. Like, there have been, along the way...
And going to HD, and then...
Yeah, like, totally. Reasons to make credible arguments that the march of technology that games... hitched themselves to, like, made next gen so exciting because, like, well, what are they going to do with this? And, you know, you get Halo Infinite where it's like, well, we're going to patch ray tracing later, which, you know, gives away the game that, well, ray tracing is going to be pretty and cool. I think it's going to be really neat. You know, there isn't one of those things. And so I think
give
that's
you the thing. I can give you the thing that excited me about this, which is every game in that showcase is on Game Pass.
And well, that's right. It's a fundamental different, but it's a different argument.
But it's a different argument. It's not about the tech. It's about the way the services are going, the way the platforms are going. The fact that, like, the fact that Halo is going to be on, I wouldn't buy that Halo game, but I will play that
play
Halo
now.
Game.
You will.
I'm spending $5
but if
a
it's
month.
Part of the jelly of the month
Dude,
club.
Yeah, if part of the jelly of the month club. Last night I was doing some audio. I was doing some podcast editing, and I needed something to do while audio was like processing. And I downloaded this game that shout outs to Jeff Green, Lonely Mountains Downhill. This little like. Bike game that's like I would never spend $20 on this game, but it's for a service that I already own, absolutely. And that's a lot of the games in that showcase. The fact that, like, okay, I'm already on that service is a really compelling argument, and I actually think you probably could have made that argument a lot more forward in this than they have, you know, than they did today. They've done it in the past. Last year's Xbox thing was just like, yo, Game Pass, 100 games. And I almost wish they would have hit that a little harder here, because this is a bunch of stuff that seems kind of neat, you know?
Yeah, there was none of the cloud stuff. There's nothing like, right. Hey, actually, you don't need to buy this box. Like, they don't want to say this here because they want to sell you the,
I mean,
what
yes.
I'm increasingly believing is going to be like a $600 box. Well, and I think they're actually going to pound their chest and say, we're actually excited about how expensive it is. Honestly.
Well,
because they're going to have the other
we're
one.
Not that.
They're going to have the cheaper one. It's like, it's cool. We, you know, you can do both, but I think it's just, yeah. Like, there was a take from GI Biz that I saw going around before we recorded this, which is like, well, traditionally, like, the way we respond to these, like, sort of events is like, well, how are these companies playing off one another? And, like, increasingly, right. I think this generation, if we're considering this, like, the pivot, including Switch just in that, is, well, they're all kind of doing different things. Sony's just doubling down on expensive blockbuster prestige games. Microsoft is offering a service where it's like, look, it's like Netflix. You might not like what here's this month, but don't worry.
Yep.
There's more stuff coming next month, including a game called The Gunk, which I didn't care for until I found out it's from the SteamWorld team. And I was like, hell yes. I love everything that studio does.
I love
also, it's
so
called
much.
The Gunk. It's called
a great name.
The Gunk.
Great name.
I was talking to a friend.
Those delightful
who's
suck up
that
yeah.
Gunk. I was talking to that gunk, please, not that goop. The goop is a different thing. They did not register the trademark for the goop. The goop is going to be my The Gunk copycat game. I was talking to a friend about this, and she was like, The Gunk is definitely what they wrote on the whiteboard as like a placeholder name, like Project Gunk. And they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just call this The Gunk. Like, yeah, that sounds right.
Well, that's what happened with – I wrote a feature on Bugsnax from a couple of weeks ago in which – you could find tweets from Phil Tabaski, the head of that studio, Young Horses, where he tweeted about Bugsnax and the project title, and they said, we had it on a whiteboard and just no one could beat it. So, oops.
There it goes.
We announced our game 6 years ago because we couldn't come up with a better name. So sometimes
that's
very
funny.
I bet that actually – we might be surprised how often that happens more than more than it doesn't.
I'd believe it. The Gunk, for people who miss this, is a third-person adventure game-looking thing. You play a character who's a big robot arm, very cartoonish, but still 3D polygonal graphics, like, you know, art style. And then she uses this big robot glove to suck up a bunch of black gunk and then presumably do something with it. We didn't really – I guess we saw, like, a tree bloom. It's one of those. It's one of those, like, suck up the gunk.
You wanted gameplay? That's not what these presentations were for, this one or
gameplay.
The Sony one.
You know I always want gameplay. Something has to be so aesthetically coherent and, like, special for me to care if it doesn't have gameplay, which, again, is part of why I think it was impressive that I walked away caring about Everwild.
Well, but you also have Sea of Thieves as a, like, design touchstone.
Ground,
okay,
yes,
I know.
Exactly.
I could see
I'm
what they can do
gaps.
In this space. Yeah.
Totally, totally. Whereas this was like, all right, you're running around and getting gunk. Okay, cool. Sure.
They always have smart mechanics,
I like that
though.
Team. Yes,
so, like,
that's exactly
that studio,
it.
It's like, if you're choosing to do this, then I just believe you have a cool idea, and I'm excited to see what it is.
The key to making one of those announcements with no gameplay successful, in my eyes, is, like, it has to be the right team and a game I can already imagine them doing.
Right, right.
And, yeah, that's what matches up with Everwild and The Gunk.
Everwild and The Gunk sounds like an 80s movie. Nah.
That's the name of the new Taylor Swift project, right?
Yeah, of course. God. Folk tales? Okay. Rob, you've been quiet.
It'll probably bop, though.
And I'm going to continue being quiet. Something just got delivered, so there's going to be a small disruption in like 5 minutes. So there might be a pissed off dog.
No.
There might be some clattering. Who knows what's going to happen?
Okay.
But let's go to someone else for just 1 second.
Yeah, absolutely. Kato, how are you doing? What do you think of this event?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. All right. I got to see new Destiny stuff. That was neat.
What was that? What was new in that Destiny stuff? Talk to me about the Destiny stuff.
So that's about the new expansion that's coming in November now. November? Yeah, 10th.
Yeah,
I believe.
Got pushed, right?
Yeah, it used to be September. And they said that they were adding a new element, so that means new classes, new abilities. It's been a while since there's been new stuff in that area for Destiny, so that's exciting. But what's more exciting is that the stuff that they kind of showed off was pretty interesting looking abilities where you can make ice walls.
That
like
was
the whole
wild.
Stasis. Yeah, like there's like a moment where someone throws a grenade at a wall and like a platform of ice appears and then people start jumping up onto it. And just like the idea
the
of like really
sure, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. There's gonna be something like where you have to make that and you know, that puzzle the jumping puzzle is gonna probably require you to have the platform grenade at some point. Mm-hmm. Things like that. But it's just really an exciting new direction for them to go with abilities of like changing your environment. And like changing the way you move around a space is not a thing that they've done a lot, but moving around Destiny is really fun. Like jumping around and shooting guns in the air or getting around enemies is like one of the best part. Like it just feels good to move around.
Yeah.
It always has. Yeah. So getting more into like being able to make walls and platforms with your abilities is really exciting.
I literally just jumped back into Destiny 2 last night on an absolute complete whim, and everything Kato just said about how good that game feels is 100% true as a person who has not played it on since launch and only played it on PS4 until now.
Yeah.
God, yeah. Thinking about changing your environment and creating more places to jump to, mm-hmm. just sounds so good.
Yeah, I hope that stuff, I'm excited. I'm so excited for them to add a fourth element to that game because that's like been, I remember when the first set of expansions came out, the first big expansion came out, I was like, are they not adding more classes? Are they not adding more like to more elements? And the fact that it's taken them this long, like I understand that's a huge change. I think what's come out since Destiny 1 has kind of shown why they've not necessarily gone that direction. Yeah. And they have added, I should be clear, eventually they did add like whatever the fourth like ultimate sets were or whatever, the third ultimate sets were.
Third.
Yeah, this will be the fourth element.
That was in,
right?
That was in Forsaken, right? That was 2 years
ago.
Of expansions.
So it's and when that happened, I was like, okay, cool. This stuff is neat. But now it's like, okay, awesome. Also, other Destiny 2 thing there, Game Pass, all the expansions, Game Pass. And then also on the Series X, it'll be 60 frames per second, which I'm not a big frames person, but I remember when that game came to PC looking at that tree. Just being like, you know what?
That red tree
looks fucking good. That game looks all right.
What version?
That's also
do I
just
get
like an
to...
incredible deal.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Well, I was just going to ask that. Like, what version do I need to get my favorite shit out of the vault? That's going to be my question.
Well,
what do you mean? Like the content vault stuff?
Yeah.
It's nothing. None. Just wait. You have to wait for it to cycle out of the Disney vault. You'll see when it's available. They'll only put it out on very expensive Blu-rays or now on their streaming service. Rob,
it does seem like.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No,
I was just going to say, it does seem that the stuff that's coming in and out of the vault does seem to be added to the base game and not the seasonal pass, so it'll be part of
I would game fucking pass, hope so, yeah. Yeah, for people who don't know, Destiny has started doing a thing where they put, or they're going to be doing a thing shortly where they're putting stuff away. They're like, no, that planet doesn't exist anymore for you to play on it.
Yeah.
This game is too bloated. We're going to focus down the thing on new stuff, basically.
And they're also bringing stuff. They're also bringing stuff
from
back.
Disney 1, right?
Yeah. So, like, the Cosmodrome area is coming back, and the Vault of Glass raid, which is my favorite raid of all
sick.
Fucking time.
Yeah, that raid
is coming
great.
Back.
I've only done a few raids, but that was one, and I really liked it.
Excited to throw ice around that old raid, right? Like,
That'll be cool.
I'm excited for the way that those old things will interact with that new those new abilities. So,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that was great.
Rob, are you back with us now? Can you talk about this event?
Yeah,
or
cautiously
did you not go?
I am.
Okay.
No, I'm here.
Should we say anything else or should we just jump to the big announcement that I had to message you about immediately?
We might as well. We need to get to this. We need to get into this.
Yes, we do. What the... Okay. Stalker was a game. A video. Stalker was a movie that adapted Roadside.
Okay, Stalker was a book.
A girl just bought Roadside Picnic.
I was say Roadside Picnic
and
was a book.
Just started reading it. By Stalker. The way. I also just bought the Stalker Criterion Edition DVD.
That movie slaps.
So, I have not played this game, but somehow I was preparing myself for this day.
Did you get an edition of Roadside Picnic with Le Guin's intro?
Yes, it's fantastic. So
yeah, it's a really good essay about that.
Just what she says about mundanity and how it enhances that world. I loved her analysis.
Yeah, it's sick.
Anyway, moving on.
So then after the Stalker movie, GSC Game World, is that correct? The original developer makes Stalker with periods in between each letter. Not technically a direct adaptation of either the book or the film. I don't think it's litigious. They're very careful. And that's a game and its expansions. So it's kind of standalone sequels, standalone expansion-y sequels that have a lot of that were, I think, a little ahead of their time in terms of player expressivity, systems-driven open-world combat and exploration, blending kind of first-person combat with traversal puzzles and putting those puzzles in a big open space. And also lots of resource management, lots of like making sure you don't die. It's the next
all-time great vibes.
And all-time great vibes. That game has great vibes. And then they had two sequels, Clear Sky and Call of Pripyat, that were, again, they were sequels, but none of them were Stalker 2. Then a decade ago, Stalker 2 gets... The only reason I say they weren't is only because coming right on the heels of them, Stalker 2 was announced. In 2010, scheduled for release in 2012. And then it fell apart.
There's a little story in there, too.
Okay.
In the middle of all that, the Metro series debuts.
Right.
Because like the tension within the Stalker team was there were people who wanted to make a narrative, like level-based shooter. And there were people who wanted to make a like systems-driven, more open-ended.
Right. This was the shooter. 2000, you know, just a Shadow of Chernobyl comes out. The first Stalker game comes out in 2007, which is to say it comes out the same year as Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare, and BioShock. The second one, Clear Sky, comes out in 2008. Far Cry 2 comes out in 2008. There is very much this era is in the first person shooter. These two different schools of thought about what the FPS should become. And of course, it becomes both of those things over the last decade. I don't think you get to DayZ without Chernobyl, right? Without a Stalker. You don't get to a lot of the, you don't get to the Far Cry series being the thing it is now without this school of thought. And also, we could talk about the disappointment of what the Far Cry series is now versus what we maybe thought it was a decade ago. But you're right. That split happens. The Metro series kind of exists through the 2010s, but the Stalker games go away. I think then it gets reannounced. Stalker 2 gets reannounced in 2018, I want to say. But then I don't think we've seen anything from it until now. Mina cares deeply about Stalker. I can hear her.
Yeah, Mina's being a real shithead today. So, Mina, just quick side note about
Please.
Mina. Mina was... So there's Kongs, you know, little like rubber things that you fill the dog food in and the dog plays with them to eat. And then to sort of keep her from just sort of snarfing all her food at once, we got her a thing where it's like a little roly-poly thing where you put the food in. It's got a weighted base, so it always bounces up.
Yeah.
And the dog's supposed to like knock it around and little bits of kibble come out. Mina hates this fucking thing. It slows the process of eating lunch too much. And so that's how we fed her today. She has refused to engage with it, but is also now just starving and like angry. And so like she won't eat the food because the food is too challenging. And so now she's just in a huff.
Sorry, Mina.
So, so Stalker's got this weird, the other thing is, remember the first time Stalker 2 kind of imploded, it imploded in such a way that like you kind of looked at it like, oh, there's nobody legitimate behind this thing at all, right? Like, Stalker 2 fell apart in a way that was like, this is classic vaporware, where there were promises being made, but it doesn't look like there was any development happening on the back end. And then when this new like re-announcement of Stalker 2 came out, it also looked a little bit, just there was no details, right? And also it's difficult to say at this point, like, is this really GSC Game World? Is this really a continuation of that team's vision? It's been over 10 years. And those questions haven't really been solved, but the difference is, like, Great Day in the Morning, a Stalker trailer was part of a Microsoft presentation.
And that game will be part of Game Pass.
Like, yeah. The mind reels. Like, Stalker was such a weird thing, and now here's Microsoft being like, we have something for you too, weirdo PC gamers. Here's this. And that's very cool. And the trailer was all fan service, right? It was all like high-end cutscene renders of iconic Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl like locations.
If not exact locations, at least. Very, very recognizable designs and places, yeah, for sure. They've said that those visuals are basically what they're targeting the game to look like, and who the fuck knows?
There's a lot about this project that makes me go, and I understand both of you getting excited. I get it, but I just want to put into the world lowered expectations.
I'm with you. I get it. Listen, but they threw a bolt at an anomaly, and the anomaly went, whoosh, and that made me feel good, you know? Yeah. That's Stalker to me. Stalker to me is walking down a hallway, being like, I bet there's some bad shit up there, throwing a little bolt, having go, being very scared of what just happened, and then being like, I bet I could still get across this room. I just got to find the right thing to jump on. I don't know. There's a motherfucker playing a guitar at a campfire. That's Stalker to me.
The bolt stuff is the only way in which it is really an adaptation of the Tarkovsky movie. That and the Wishcranter, I suppose.
Yes.
The two big things, but I get you, and that's why I'm trying to underreact to this thing where I'm like, there could still not be a Stalker 2 that like actually exists behind that thing, but Microsoft wouldn't do me like that. Like, I think, you know what, I'll bet Microsoft vetted this project and they were even more impressed than
think. Microsoft is a real company, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're a real company for sure.
Fuck off.
You wouldn't think that they would put a fake game, you know?
Yeah, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I bet we will see.
But they definitely would. It's the thing. They absolutely 100% would.
What's wrong with either? I think
it's not like Gina. You lost me.
I think that the fact that they're putting out so many things on Game Pass means you're going to get those DOA projects, those vaporware projects. God, the new Vectroid album only coming. Yeah. God, Macintosh Plus 2 coming only to Game Pass. We can keep going on Stalker stuff, but I think that you're totally right that who the fuck knows. They put it on FAQ. People should go read that if they're curious. We should probably talk about like the, you know, premier game that this event was anchored by at least a little bit, right? Maybe the fact that we didn't just like all lead with that says something about the game.
I think it probably says something about us. I was ready.
But I went to you first, and you did not go, we got to talk about Halo.
Because I knew no one else wanted to. So I was just waiting for this moment in the conversation.
Kato has a history. Right, with Bungie.
You played a Bungie game. You're ready for this
was
conversation.
A game at a certain point.
To be fair, Halo 1, I played Halo 1 when it was on Mac.
See?
And that was the only one I played because I never had an Xbox.
Well,
I have a question. So I have a question for the group.
Yeah.
The opening of the trailer is, it's 167 days after the defeat. Am I supposed to know what defeat they're talking about. Where's Cortana?
If you've played Halo 4 and 5, what you will realize is 343's approach to storytelling is, well, if you haven't read the books, then we're just going to leave you out in the wilderness over what's happening in the narrative. They've said they're aware of that criticism and are going to address it in Infinite. But yes, it is true that the trailer itself starts with, like, right, so average person who's been like, I liked Halo, I'd play another one of those, and then just completely drops you. I mean, this even if you know
they learned
what that
the wrong things from Bungie. Just
listen, I need to just all of you to send out just like a mental hug to my good friend Alex Arbuckle, who has told me he has read every single one of those Halo novels.
People
they're
love
out
him.
There.
I have friends who love him. Absolutely, yeah.
He was able to, you know, using the novel as a reference, tell me definitively that no, Master Chief's suit does not jack him off.
I thought that was true.
Yeah, I was gonna.
Is that not true?
No, it's not true. He found the passage from that screenshot in the novels because he owns them all. He bought them all.
Maybe
hardcover.
He has the wrong edition. Maybe they changed.
They made hardcovers for that.
Maybe they changed it.
They made like
okay. I'll talk to Arbo.
Yeah, talk and to see Arbo. What's up. Find out if he has the right edition. It has a little J.O. on the corner of the cover art. It just says that.
Oh,
the J.O.
I see.
Edition.
It's the J.O. edition.
Yeah. Anyway, as far as we can tell, that feature is not in this game. It's only a demo. There's a grappling hook, though. That's a new
it's
one.
It's kind of like being J.O.'d.
I went and played 2 hours of Halo Reach last night.
I saw you streaming that. Yeah.
Yeah, Halo was like a really foundational, like that was like, you know, there was GoldenEye in the N64 era. It was like really foundational to my friends. And then Halo was just, it's just what we did. It was like, what does everyone want to do?
We play some Halo. Yeah.
All right, we'll play Blood Gulch. Right. You know, like Halo was just it. We'd come up with our own variants, like pistols only. And like, it was just, in the same way that like, when you're like really young, you make up like your own games to play. Like our friend group had fights, drama, like so much happened.
Through Halo.
I was just about to say that was the most fucking college shit I've ever heard in my life. I just remember actually like doing the same shit in college. I was never the originator of that because I didn't have like my own game console until like later in my college career. But I remember specifically just like hanging out and smoking weed with a bunch of friends and then slowly developing an incredibly complex game mode just for ourselves in Halo. I loved it. Anyway,
I mean, that was like the thing about Halo 3 specifically was the multiplayer in that game. It let you build custom modes, let you build all sorts of cool spaces. I think that was Halo 3 is the first one with the Forge, right? Am I misremembering that?
Maybe no, you're right okay. there. No, I was gonna say like in Halo 2 was stolen off of a French manufacturing plant before that game came out, and in college, right. Someone in my dorm realized like, hey, don't you have a modded original Xbox? And I was like, oh, I do, because I was reviewing games for GMR and Xbox Nation in college. So in order to get like early discs from like publishers, I had to like self mod an Xbox of mine, broke one, and then had to mod it again to make it work. But I got it to work, and so he had a DVD burner and like burned a copy of Halo 2, and I put a sign up sheet in front of my dorm room, and then got to act like a god king and like, would shoo certain people away or allow certain people in. I made people kneel in front of my door before they came in to play Halo 2
because
the multiplayer was so important. Like people were like losing their like truly. It is hard because like the luster of Halo for a lot, like it's hard to remember how big that series was. It is hard to remember how monumental the release of Halo 2 specifically was. It was the biggest thing going in games. Like the line to pick up that game at GameStop on my college was like stretched for blocks. Like it was incredible how like of the moment that was. And yeah, I was the one making people kneel in front of me so they could play the multiplayer 24 hours for it.
Do you remember that?
Never been that popular in my life.
Neither was I.
Was popular at the end of
no, so like Gita, don't take that as a ringing endorsement.
No, I just sincerely congratulations. Like you've achieved a status
Thank
of being
you.
In college I could never have dreamed
Unbelievable.
of.
Unbelievable. I remember that leak because it also a friend of mine in college, we were in college at the same time, I think, Patrick, also downloaded it, played it, beat it before the release, and then in like went to like the campus game room. Everyone was huddled around the shitty TV, and everyone was watching someone play through the campaign. And he just came in and was like, "Oh yeah, I hate this. This game actually kind of sucks. It ends on a really bad cliffhanger. Here's what happens." And it was like,
"Oh, no,
word. Oh, for real? Okay. This game hasn't been out. How do you know?" Shut the fuck up, man. It was upsetting. Anyway, I have really fond memories of Halo 3. I kind of skipped Halo 2 outside of the multiplayer. I really played a lot of Halo 1, and then in Halo 3, did that also come out in 2007? It must have, right? Speaking of 2007 first-person shooters, because I remember just being unemployed and being like playing hours and hours and hours of that thing, especially multiplayer, especially custom games. I remember playing a mode where there's this thing in Halo 3 called the Elephant, which is like a big sand crawler type vehicle that had like huge open space in the middle, and we would do capture the flag where the bases where the flags were on the elephants, and so it'd be like two giant sand ships going back and forth, and you would try to like it would be basically playing Sea of Thieves a decade early trying to like board each other's weird sand ship. That game was great. and I think the campaign was good, and then I think I played Reach and I played some of ODST, but I never beat ODST.
Is the secret best Halo game. It has a good soundtrack. It mixes up it wasn't open world, but it had a hub and spoke design for how you went about missions. It got rid of shields, it was health only. It was like the deeply experimental, still within a lot of the bounds of Halo, and such a good soundtrack.
And then I didn't play 4 or 5. And so I'm watching this thing and I'm going like, who the fuck is this guy talking to Master Chief? Again, like you said, what defeat? What loss? What am I supposed to know about this? I believe there was someone called... what is his name? The Didact?
The Didact. I think the Didact was the villain in the 4.
Is not the villain anymore? I know Cortana.
I played 4 and 5.
Cortana bad,
Cortana
finally.
Cortana bad.
Thank God.
They're probably
finally
going to be redeemed, right? Like, come on.
Maybe. Who could say? But what is. So, we can actually talk about this game now. Halo Infinite. There are lots of rumors about what it was going to be. We'd heard Halo but Destiny. We'd heard Halo but Skyrim. Like open world Halo. And I think that's probably the I heard recently what Halo but Metroid Prime. And I think the open world.
The grappling hook supports that theory.
It sure does, actually, huh? And what we saw looked more open than previous Halo games. Not that Halo games haven't had big hub spaces before, like you said, ODST, but even just like some of the Halo 1 levels had that feeling of openness. But rarely was exploration rewarded beyond like extra little lore bits occasionally. I remember Halo 3 had lots of like, if you explore this area, you'll find a terminal with some of their like meta plot stuff in there. But the big thing here very much seemed to be, all right, we're going to give you an objective list. The top left of the screen is going to say, go take out these three gun batteries.
There's a map.
And then you're going to go do it. There's a map, right? And there's not just a map, right? But like on that map, there is like you can hover over locations on the map the way you would in like a Far Cry game or something, right?
Well, I guess to be clear, like when I had heard the original like Skyrim comparison, this is like this was like their blue sky, like tone pieces when they were pitching the game internally to try and figure out what they were going to do. It was more like when one of the we forget this now, but like part of the magic of a game like Skyrim at the time was like, you see that mountain? Like, you can go there, which like most games, hide that behind different gateways. And in Skyrim, it truly often felt like, oh, you see that? Yeah, I mean, you can get there eventually. And I think I get that vibe from what they showed here of like the way they were trying to show the draw distance and like the scope of the world. It was like, hey, you see that like outpost? It's not just window dressing. Like, that's an outpost that if you wanted to, you could go, with the right equipment and upgrades, you could go make your way to now.
Totally. And then, like, when you look at that map, it's like there's the TAC map, there's an upgrades screen, a database. You can set waypoints on the map. You can view missions. You can start missions. The icons do very much have that vibe of, like, Far Cry style, okay, this mission is destroy the east, north, and west gun battery, and there's little collectible icons. And
am I going to cut up the Covenant to get pieces to build a bigger satchel?
Oh, I absolutely think you are. I 100% think, especially with the armor breaking stuff, the way that it showed, like, I don't remember which characters they were, but when you hit them, their armor comes off. I guess they were the brutes, probably. That to me looks like a craft that they, yes, I think you will totally get crafted upgrades in this
Give
game.
Give me an animation with Master Chief bent over with a hunting knife. The knife carving up an elite.
Yeah, totally. yeah, and so I don't know. I feel like
I don't think they showed enough is my problem.
Me
with
either.
It.
I'm playing this, right?
Not playing it. I'm going to see like an extended campaign.
Why is no one playing this? They started this thing with a mistake.
Austin and I both vibed on this. It was like when they started their presentation with like press, you know, the equivalent of the start button on the Xbox.
So press start demo.
Then I was like, oh damn, they're going to show like a tiny bit. And they're like, if you want to see more, jump
go
on Xbox
right
Live yeah. right now and download a demo. Or like,
what if they were like...
Actually, the smart thing was like, hey, yes, go sign up for xCloud.
xCloud right
play
now.
Play it on an Xbox. Ugh!
Play it right on your PC on. Right now. Play it on your phone right now. You would like instantly
because you don't want
them
to play
that.
It on like a base Xbox One where it looks like... It's even worse
this
than
is easy.
You know,
this
arguably
is,
the aesthetics
the big
they were showing now.
All they had to do was do what we said. I'm sure there was no work involved. I'm sure it wouldn't have been difficult.
I guess just what I'm just saying is if you were to explain everything in that demo on paper, I would have been more excited than watching what they showed play
yes.
out, because all the demo did is raise it didn't answer enough questions than that I have, and like those yeah. questions would maybe are answered in me watching them play 45 minutes of the game in a little bit. That's not, as far as I know, video they're going to release. You know, I'll report back
they
on Monday.
Should they probably will
it's,
later
it's
this summer
like,
it'll
what
be
is
one of those.
It's like, what is this the kind of thing where, like, speaking of the Metroid Prime influence, like, is this a game where, like, there just aren't that many things you do in Halo, right? Like
right.
you fight, and it's like in a world like this, well, you're presumably introducing puzzle solving in terms of like, how do I get to a thing? You're
right.
introducing platforming to a degree that has not been in Halo
is
before.
Is the grappling
like,
hook
those...
one of six traversal abilities that you get? Can you
right.
turn
am I
going to
get
a
jetpack that like shoots me? I'm going to use that
right.
combined with a, like you can, your brain can start thinking of all sorts of ways that like, the thing that's not answered is getting around the world going to be more fun than just
yeah.
me jumping in a warthog and like fighting a bunch of elites a thousand times? I'm sure there is more to it. The problem
yeah.
is I do think it is fair to point out that I don't think it looked particularly impressive, and I think that's a result of just the Halo aesthetic being stretched as far as it can
Dude,
go.
That's, yeah, that screenshot that's going around is a rough one. I think it looks way
ignore
better
the screenshots.
In motion.
Go watch the local yes. like the actual trailer on YouTube at 1080 or 4K. It looks much sharper than
yes.
those screenshots suggest, but it's a flat looking game. Like it has
Halo
had
right.
a style, and now it doesn't have a style because it's just become, well, that's what Halo looks like.
We've been
and
killing
so,
grunts for 20 years.
Right.
All,
yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Get out the charge pistol and
yeah.
then shoot that at the elite. His shield comes down and I go up
then
and I can melee him
yeah.
and take
how
him
you
out.
Do this. Yeah, exactly. That exact motion.
But
exactly.
now I can shoot a hook at him. And like, I don't mean to be disparaging because I'm sure there's more going on, but that this is where this kind of demo.
Yeah.
It's like, it almost would have been benefited from just a sizzle reel. That's like, here's a bunch of shit from the game all packed together of cool stuff you can do. Whereas like shown here, this like 8 minutes is like, well, in that 8 minutes, there was like about 30 seconds where I went, I'd love to see more of this. And I just didn't find that it answered those questions for me.
One of my biggest things very much is going to be like, what's this open world like to move around? And what are the
what
fighting
am I doing
areas
in it?
Like
am I just
like?
Finding a terminal that is,
sure.
got you know what I mean? Because that's,
right.
that's the
Press
thing. Like,
F to
if,
move plot forward, right?
If exploration is a huge part of Infinite, which is implied to be a huge part of an open world, what are you doing in that? Am I meeting characters? Am I having conversations with them?
Well,
like, that's never been a part of Halo. There's never like go meet a person and then like help them out with their problems on their farm. Like that isn't like I'm fine with that being in Halo. But those are the kinds of things like if they're like, oh, you know, if they had a demo, it's like here are two paths. Like one is like we could go fight the Covenant, like go up to that, you know, to take out these batteries. Like and the other is like, well, I'm going to go talk to this person that lives here and like go see what's up with them. Be like, wow, that's like different for a Halo game. I'm curious what they're going to do with that. And I just, maybe that stuff's there. I just don't know.
And well, I'm also curious about just level design stuff. It's right. hard to make an open world game that has good gunfights in it.
But Halo has always done that. Arguably, go think back to Halo 1.
Yeah, but those Halo spaces 1 weren't is actually giant, open worlds.
But they were giant open spaces.
They yes, were. They were bigger.
I mean, there are some areas in Halo, like Halo 1 specifically, and I would actually argue this more for like the franchise writ large, but this is really Halo 1 specific, has gigantic spaces relative to what you experience in most shooters. Like just huge open areas.
It does, but when you get to like the memorable fights, those are pretty much linear, well-designed spaces that are like, and also,
Halo 1 is pretty
also
good.
Bungie isn't making this game.
Right.
And also
right,
Bungie's right. making Destiny, and Destiny has lots of linear fights or like yeah. fights through spaces that are big, and then they tunnel, there's like a what's the word I'm looking for when things get smaller? I keep wanting to say chokehold. That's not, you know what I mean.
Funneling? Yeah, okay.
Funneling. They get funneled into a tighter space. That's still not the word I was looking for, but it's fine. And I'm curious to see, like, I don't want this to be the Halo game where the Halo feels like Far Cry. I like, you know how I feel about various Far Cry games. There are some that I yeah. really love and some I don't love. But none of them have had what I think is anything near the combat spaces that the Bungie Halo games did in terms of just having that style of frenetic, fast, rewarding gunfights.
Well, Austin, this is the thing that you and I talk about constantly, is like the dream is how do you take, like open world games traditionally have sacrificed their moment-to-moment gameplay in service of like spectacle and like sheer like volume of content. But like when it comes down to it, like for grand swaths of the Assassin's Creed franchise, just to take one, especially when they don't involve guns, it's like it's not that fun to play engage in the combat. Like you're just doing that to get to the next thing, the exploration, the next story bit. And the dream is always like, can some studio combine like really, really good, like when it contained tight linear gameplay and drop that into a bigger space, like get the benefits of the open world. It's right. why we talk about like okay. a Dragon's Dogma
Dragon's
too. It's like
Dogma.
It's like, look, I love the combat in that game, but they didn't create like, when we think of a quote-unquote open world, Dragon's Dogma did not have that. It was a pretty bad one of those. And so I'm excited to do a sequel.
I disagree, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm speaking to, and I'm speaking for most people in that regard.
Yes, I know. Yes, totally.
And so, but that is usually, like, kind of the disconnect with a lot of these games. You know, like, I love Devil May Cry, and I've constantly thought about, like, you know what would be fucking cool? Like, give me Devil May Cry in, like, a giant open space where I'm fighting quests instead of linear stuff. But the advantage of linear things is exactly what you're speaking to. Is like, oh, is the whole reason this works at all, even if you think you want it in a giant open space, well, the reason you're having fun is because they can funnel you and contain the yeah. encounters.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think that is this year, right? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Rob. It is a little maddening though to be having these conversations literally in the same podcast where we discuss the Stalker series. And right. it's like, damn, like is there any way to make a game with good shooting that's like open world? And that problem was solved. It's just for whatever reason it seems like developers didn't like the solution, or they didn't feel it would adapt to
they felt like it wouldn't adapt to consoles when those games came out, is really right. what it comes down to. But also, I should be clear, I think there are different types of open world shooters.
Sure, but I think one of the reasons these games tend to fall apart is, so like there are many reasons why Far Cry games have gotten like progressively less interesting, right? Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, they don't feel as open as you would think, right? Like the enemies are located at their base or something. So you go to their base and you fuck up, the base full of dudes
right.
and maybe they sound an alarm and more people arrive. But if you think about it, the entire thing happens in a pretty narrow slice of that open world.
And sometimes you find a bear in the woods.
Right.
Yeah. The rest of that open world is inert.
Right. Whereas the Stalker series, or for that matter, Stalker I think is better at it than this, but Breakpoint last year, I think one of the reasons you and I connected to Breakpoint in those early hours was that feeling of dynamism in the open space, the fact that there were things happening that you were not triggering them to happen. They were systemically happening and you would get caught up in them. Stalker was all, especially the Stalker sequels, were all about that feeling of these factions are hitting each other in the open world. Who knows what the experiences you're going to have. This is going to be an emergent narrative generator in a real way.
Right. So, and that's why I think like the thing that is kind of worrying about the notion of this being a direction for Halo is go take out these three turrets is like, I have a feeling that it's going to be three underwhelming, fairly open encounter spaces that I'm going to have. Right. At the end of each one, I'm going to push a button or like plant a charge or something. And that's going to be it. And I can do it in any order I want, but it's not going to be a case where like there's a cool story about Master Chief operating alone behind enemy lines that is going to unfold as he is trying to do these three things, right? There's not going to be a, you're just trying to complete the mission, but then you're spun off in a cool other encounter. That does not feel like the game that they're making, but I don't know. It is tough to tell because the other part of this trailer seems so conservative in just like, it's Halo. Remember how much you love Halo?
Yeah.
Like, but it's especially Halo 1.
Halo, but big now.
But big. Big, yeah, bigger than before.
When you go up the elevator in that gameplay that you see, and the camera like slowly is like, hey, look, we're at a fucking ring world, right?
Yeah.
And then it like pans around and it's like, those look an awful lot like Covenant crates and HVAC units that I'm just gonna be. It's like, here's a huge open world that you can't explore. Behind you, where you'll be playing, some boxes.
I suspect you will be able to explore it. My question is, will there be anything there when you get there? Will it feel rewarding to get there?
Boxes
to begin with.
Elites.
Oh, cool. Nice. But again,
boxes.
I think there's, to some degree, this is also, you could say that about Breath of the Wild. What's going to be there? Bokoblins and the, what are the little guys that you chase or that you find and they're hidden? Why am Korox? I blanking on that? Koroks and Korok seeds. And like, okay, yeah, like on paper, that sounds really repetitive, but the good world design and traversal made that game really sing for me. If those boxes are real good, if those gunfights are really well designed, you know, if those spaces actually make me go like, whoa, that was a really cool experience, I don't necessarily need the systemic interaction to justify a huge, you know, long Halo game where I get to feel good while playing Halo for 50 hours or whatever. Would I prefer that they take like a big swing and to do some interesting systemic interaction and have like, you know, whatever this new, what are they called? The Banished, whatever this new faction is of basically just Covenant 2 versus another faction.
Led by Dominus Gall.
Yeah, it is just 100%. Yeah. It's so fucking wild that character showed up and I was like, that's Gall from Destiny 2 from the Red War. It's also exactly like the dude from, it's also the Khan in Ghost of Tsushima. This is just the style of villain that video games is down with. Like, all right, tough, rounded face, gives a speech like he knows what's up in a way that you don't. Also, this is what villains are.
Also, has this happened before, or is this he's got the fucking knives, like the whole setup looks like the fucking legendary symbol from their difficulty.
Oh my god, does it?
Uh-huh.
I didn't notice this. That's very funny.
Right? Like when you like bump the difficulty up to legendary, it's got the knives and the skull.
Two knives across and, like, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just a walking, I can't believe you've done this to me. He is the he is the legendary difficulty icon, just his body. That's fuck off. Damn it.
Another little just random question about Halo the games versus Halo the lore, right? Uh-huh. Just little side question here.
Yes.
In that trailer, we saw the part where we're getting, you know, the stirring scene of the Master Chief suit being assembled while Dr. What's-Her-Face is, like, discussing how, you know, really all this technology is nothing without a hero inside of all that shit. I wonder if this can save humanity. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I have not read all the novels, but no. I do seem to recall
this
being
right
kind
group.
Of a material point. Wasn't the whole Master Chief thing about like creating a super soldier to go like put down colonist rebellions?
Yeah, no, it's bad. And they're fascists. They're fascist super soldiers. That's the bit.
Yeah, when I was streaming the Reach last night, they were like, "Oh right, like that's Dr. Nazi."
Yes.
What's her like? There's like this consistent scientist across the games.
Is that Halsey? Is that who that is?
I think so.
Elizabeth, something like that. Anyway, yeah, no, you're right. The extended lore is very much in that space that like Warhammer 40K or the Verhoeven Starship Troopers of like, oh, this is a fascist authoritarian, Earth regime that is trying to crush colonists. And then it turns out that when the aliens invade, they've already built their super soldiers. Whew, That was a close one. But they definitely put down a human revolution for sure.
Right. It just always feels like the series has interesting things implied in the backstory and in the margins where it's like, this is a cool sci-fi universe. I would be curious to know more. And then the game comes out and it's like, oh, Master Chief, thank God you're here. Whew. We don't know what we do without you. Hey, see? Master Chief's here. And it's like, cool. But also it's like if somebody made a shooter out of Jinro.
Right. I think they probably did do that too. That's so many things. That's Destiny is the thing, right? That's so many games. It's just like, wait a second. Is there actually something really cool and interesting happening here just beyond the screen? Yes. You don't get to see it. That's not for you. That's for our wiki. So yeah, that is this year though, right? That does that have a date on it, or is that just
It's holiday. It'll be okay.
That'll be launched, probably, right?
I think they're just trying to skate around what date November it's going to be, because they probably don't want to launch the same as Sony.
As Sony, yeah. Which this kind of back and forth is so funny to me. We would know.
It is almost August. We don't know how much these boxes are going to cost, and we don't know when they're coming out.
No. Any other big stuff from this event that y'all want to call out? There was a game before. There was a pre-show that had some interesting stuff in it, actually. Echo Generation. Yeah.
Shit.
Echo Generation is by the developers of Riverbond.
That's the one I shared, right?
Yes, yes, totally. Yeah,
this game looks great.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I don't. Okay, great. It's got a great trailer. It's Stranger Things.
It's weird that this hits me... I watch this and I was like, oh, this is the first Stranger Things video game. I know they've made other ones, but none of them, Stranger Things as a show seems to play with the genre conventions, sounds, and look of the kind of source material it's riffing on in a much more direct way than the Stranger Things games do, in a much more effective way. This feels the way I suspect Stranger Things makes the fans of Stranger Things feel. And from your response, that seems true.
It's got like a main character who looks like a young kid. It's not like a young teenager. It's got like, yeah, it doesn't seem like it's explicitly like 80s-ish in the way that like it has a bit of it. It's
pixelated 3D graphics. It's synthwave,
like a card based turn based RPG. I guess it you're fighting like that, spider quickly. Tanks and yeah. things like that. Uh-huh. I don't know what's going on in this game,
but it has a look. It has a vibe. Yeah, totally. Speaking of things like this that have a look and have a vibe, did you see that Star Renegades got a date yesterday? That really good looking RPG that we played at PAX a few years ago.
Really?
That's coming out this year. That's September. Yeah.
Wow. I'm very excited. All right. Good for Star Renegade.
I reached out for code. Don't worry about it. I was like, yo, put us on the list.
I don't have much to say about... Don't Nod showed a lot more of their Tell Me Why game.
That's the twins, right?
A game that like Rob expressed in our Slack is just like, well, pulling on his collar as he's like watching all of this material that... Don't Nod is going to be playing around with. For people that don't know, it's a game that when it was announced, it very proudly was like, oh, this is going to be the first game with a trans character at the center of it. And we're making, not only are we like in doing that, we're going to make a big deal that we're doing that. I have not read through this, but they put up a fact today, like alongside this new trailer that has some really interesting questions. It says the main character, is Tyler, and there are questions here, and they have answers about. We don't really have to get into that. I just think it's interesting that they're here. It's like, is Tyler's birth name or dead name used anywhere in the game? And in this case, it says no. I guess I'll read this one because it kind of characterizes some of their approach. No, Tyler's birth name does not appear anywhere in Tell Me Why. In flashback scenes, players will hear young Tyler referred to as Ollie. Ollie was the first name Tyler chose for himself. He likes that his name sounded similar to Allison's nickname, Allie. And then there are there's a lot of questions in this fact. One of them was Tyler's mother transphobic, and then says spoilers, presumably going to explain to you what is happening in this game to some degree to address it. Does Tell Me Why depict any transphobia against Tyler? Spoilers. And there was
one of these kids had to shoot their mom for reasons.
That happens in that trailer, we should be clear. I don't think that is tied to the transphobia question here. Having now read these, I don't think that's about transphobia. That sequence that's in the trailer that does look like some dark shit was happening. According to them, that is not about transphobia.
Did Tyler transition as a result of his childhood trauma? Like, I just think it's interesting to see the arc. Like, you know, I don't know how it's going to ultimately handle this stuff in the game. But, you know, if you want to, you know, give him credit, I think it's interesting that, like, hey, we're doing this. We're also going to address a bunch of, like, obvious questions that people would have. Just because they, like, vetted a fact well doesn't mean that they'll handle the material in the game. Well,
I appreciate,
but I think it's interesting.
This methodology of trying to avoid being hashtag problematic rather than rounding off all the corners of dramatic tension from your narrative. It's, you know, we're not sure if that is in fact what they will also be doing, but I prefer that a game company be really upfront about stuff that might trigger people in their game and provide a resource for the people that might be affected by that kind of sensitive content to make an informed choice about whether or not they'll play it, rather than avoid telling these stories or tell these stories in a very boring way.
Right. There is definitely, like, just a content warning. Like, this is what this is. This is a list of content warnings, effectively, and answering common questions of watching, you know, watching this trailer, knowing this, being able to be like, oh, okay, these are things that they had in mind, at least, and I can know what I'm getting into when I go into it. I mean, we should note here for a second that first patch of Deadly Premonition 2 hit, and it sounds like it doesn't fix anything, really. It, like, removes one instance of dead naming, but not... it doesn't adjust the story or change.
Swear he's out here deleting tweets.
Dude,
and
it's bad. Yeah. Also,
I expect to write about something eventually, but I'm waiting to see where it lands.
There is I'll shout out really quick. There's a Laura Kate Dale video that goes into the history of Swery and kind of the way that he's had trans characters in his games, and goes deep into why The Missing worked well, and then really gets into what the fuck happens in this game, in Deadly Premonition 2. It's called A Trans Woman Discusses Swery, Trans Representation, and Deadly Premonition 2. It's like 26 minutes. It's worth watching if you're curious about what is going on in this game, but also just Swery's career and why there was some hope coming into this, coming to Deadly Premonition 2 about it. But just wanted to follow up on that story. What else? Anything else here from this event worth shouting out? I guess the other pre-show thing was a new game co-created by Yuji Naka and Naoto Oshima, which I believe that they worked together on Nights into Dreams and some Sonic stuff, and it's called Balan Wonder World. It seems like it's like a 3D platformer with like different characters you're choosing to do different abilities and stuff. It's not my thing, but I saw Danielle was excited about it because, you know, 3D platformers. Cute. It's cute.
Was it Psychonauts 2 looks good. Yeah. They've since confirmed that game's not coming out this year. It's coming out
I believe
next
that.
Year. But part of that's because they did an interview recently where they said, we removed all the boss fights and a bunch of levels from the game because we ran out of money. And then Microsoft bought us and they were like, do you want to just add that stuff back in? So that's adding a decent amount of time to the game. But that, I saw a demo of that last year at E3, and I have less – like, I liked Psychonauts when I played it, but I don't have the same reverence for it of others do. But I enjoyed it and was, like, happy to see them take another, like, twirl in that world. And I found the demo to be really promising. Like, not only did it seem really funny, but the actual moment-to-moment platforming and combat seemed, like, more than just – competent to get to the humor and the visuals. Like, it seemed like it would be you know, at least a little above just like, it's here so you have something to do in the game while you get to the next big, you know, gag that we've put in there.
That interview with Tim Schafer from a little while ago, I want to say it was early July over on gamesindustry.biz, was really interesting because it was basically him being like, it has been weird since we got bought by Microsoft and knowing that all of our games are going to go out on Game Pass, because it's like, it's the same, except we're not always just terrified about going out of business. We can just work on making the games that we want to work on. This is weird. There's just like
I wonder if that ends up changing games long term, because you know, do you feel less of an obligation to make a game longer? Do you feel less of an obligation to do certain things if you are specifically like a Microsoft studio? Like, this doesn't apply nearly as much to everybody for releasing Y, but if you suddenly can scope and plan differently, because look, we don't need to keep people around for 50 hours. We just need people to have a good time and make it till the next billing cycle. Like that's a, you know, I mean, that's still an equally in some ways crass way to think about it. But you can also imagine a world in which that frees people up to do different things in their games because they, there's just a different expectation of like where that's going into the world.
Totally. A few other tiny things that are like, State of Decay 3 is going to exist at some point. Mm-hmm. That's so early that I don't... You got to show me something. You got to give me something here a little bit. Rob, do you have feelings about Forza? Zombie deer. What? Yeah, there's a zombie deer. That's true. I asked if you had feelings about Forza. Sucked. Damn.
Like just damn. Some, that was sorry shit, man. Like, why even bother? If you're just going to show...
Cars?
Like, driver avatars circling around a set. Like, no, it's pointless.
Damn.
Gran Turismo, that was doing it right. I thought Darktide looked, like, in terms of just, hey, it looks like it's Left 4 Dead Warhammer 40K.
Yeah.
Bunch of agents of the Inquisition, I mean, it's, plunging please, deep Rob, into a haunted hive city.
It's sure. Vermintide 40K. That's why it's called Darktide. Because yeah. Vermintide, but Dark 40K. Yeah, you're not playing Space Marines. You're playing like non. You're playing just. You're playing lowercase SM Space Marines, not 40K style big bulky. You know, armor Space Marines. It seems so.
Yeah, actually, well, no. I mean, this would be Astra Militarum, I think.
Ah, okay.
But the fact that the narrator for it is an Inquisitor or somebody writing to an Inquisitor means they might actually be a different force entirely. Either way, I do, like, I kind of enjoy the vibe of the trailer.
Let's do it.
Like,
yeah. If this was out now, I'd be like, Rob, you want to play that this weekend?
Absolutely.
So, there's some sort of new drop of Phantasy Star Online 2 coming next year that looks like the thing I'll need to actually commit to playing it because... A lot of it just looks way better. The UI looks better. There's new combat animations that makes it look less like a game that came out 10 years ago and more like a game that came out 3 years ago. And, and so I'm here for that. It's called New Genesis. My two things related to music. One, the Tetris Effect expansion, the Tetris Effect update called Effect Connected is coming out. Tetris Effect is going to hit Xbox One and Series X this year. And that's going to have co-op and multiplayer. And it said like an updated single player or something like that, which like, sure. Okay, cool. I love that game. But the second I realized the song that was playing, it like my heart got caught and it was like, oh shit. Fuck, Tetris Effect makes you feel things. I love that song so much.
Feels
I
like
love
a that less game. Good version of the song.
It was a less good version of the song, but yeah, what are you going to do, right?
Also, I did enjoy, so there's a tension in that video for me. You watch, it's like the song's playing, it's all these pictures of like people like who are kids, older people of all, you know, walks of life, just anyone playing Tetris, and holy shit, they can play together.
They can play together.
Get connected.
Mizuguchi is there. Frank Lance is there.
And then I watched Dan the Reichert screens was merge. In there. Yeah, and I watched some truly shitty plays happen. And I'm like, this is not going to be a positive experience.
I cannot wait to play Tetris with Rob.
Rob is going to
our first stream
us.
In years will just be us playing Tetris.
God, unbelievable.
Patrick, did you not see what I had coming? Did you not see what my next brick was?
Oh, it'd be
you
so
fucked
good.
Up my play. Thank you very much.
So
okay,
funny.
Where do you want me? Since you're going to get in my way, where do you want me to put this brick?
Oh my god! I can't wait for this. This is
so
funny.
Yeah.
So
like
wonderful.
The thing is, it's like three boards, and you can move. You can put stuff in other people's boards collaboratively.
It's great. That sounds. So, oh man.
I'm ready for it. It's
I would not be a good.
No,
partner.
Of course you would.
No one's gonna like playing with me. I can't wait.
Kato and I will be over here playing together the way it's meant to happen.
Oh, look, I've got this big straight line. Where am I going to put this? Ooh, I got so many options. I'm taking bids. Who would, you know, where should I go?
Who wants to buy me beer? the other music thing is, did y'all see the trailer for Crossfire X?
Fuck.
Yes.
I did.
The Christ. Asian popular multiplayer shooter that is now getting a single player campaign
developed by
Remedy.
By Remedy? Developed by Remedy? Did y'all realize what you were listening to? Musically?
No.
Oh, no. You should turn it up. You should raise it a little bit here. Go to like 20 and listen to what this woman is singing. Very soft piano, kind of heavy drum beat in the background. She says, first, she says, what'd she say? Let's listen real close for me. What are we going to do first, Rob?
I've turned it way up. What is this?
She's saying, first, we're going to rock, then we're going to roll, then we let it pop, go, let it go. What? X going to give it to ya. He going to give it to ya.
Wait, did you guys catch the Snoop Dogg DMX versus?
I did.
Yesterday?
I feel it's deeply, I think it's deeply disrespectful that this trailer uses a bad slow piano version.
Listen,
of X Gonna
Snoop
Give It To
Dogg
You.
Was giving props to X during that versus, okay? He was hyping
he
him
was
up.
He was hyping him up. That was a great moment. I watched that right before we got on.
We
got
to get
podcast.
X on the line. He doesn't know how to use the internet, so
someone has to play this trailer. Yes, yes. He has to stop this. Actually, I'm sure this is putting money in his pocket. So, so X Don't Give It To You is in this trailer for Crossfire X's single player campaign, which, you know, is it a video game event if there isn't a slow piano version of a hyped up song? No.
That song is
very good. It's very good.
I'm upset.
Yeah, I'm with you. Other than that, there were some other things, but this was not, you know, completely comprehensive.
It's weird that they announced they were canceling Elden Ring during the stream.
Yeah, they did.
And you're like, hey, like, by the way,
done with that.
What did
Elden
it do?
Ring, like, Peter. They came out and they just broke a hard drive. We're like, yeah, sorry, we just.
Yeah. Also, he burnt the last book. This is the manuscript for the last Game of Thrones book, and he just set it on fire.
And George Martin came out.
It was also
a hard
in front
drive
of a crowd.
And burns a PDF.
I don't know why they had a stage show portion during COVID, but that was happening. That seemed very irresponsible to me. I've been playing a game that made me think of a thing I want in Elden Ring, so I need to shout that out now before it did. I've been playing. Do you know the Atelier feels right to me.
Yeah, it's a JRPG series, right?
Yeah, yeah. The Atelier series, there's a billion of these. It's about being an alchemist. It's about being like a cute girl alchemist who loves alchemy and her friends and, you know, alchemical
like a
things.
Witch hat Atelier.
Right, like yes, exactly. Yes, yes. That same word. There's a billion of these, and there's like I decided this new one was on sale and I should try it. And it has a thing. So in the past games, apparently you crafted things like potions and bombs you could throw, and that's cool, but also it's a JRPG, which means you never use items because you feel bad. And the way that this game gets around that is when you make an item, you can equip it and then use a sort of like Estus style a resource that lets you just use any of the items you've equipped that many times, and that recharges every time you go to sleep. So it's like, and there's other ways to recharge it. So you could like build a cool bomb and then use it as many times as you want. And then the second layer of this is because you're an alchemist, you're crafting different healing potions. So you could craft a healing potion that like does also cures you of poison. You can craft a bomb that also slows enemies. And because you can equip them and use them indefinitely, you get to like basically like throw resources at building the best version of the thing you want. And I want the version of this game where I could build my own Estus flask. I could build a anti-poison Estus, or I could build an Estus that gives me fire resistance and then equip that before going out into the world. I want that to be in the next Dark Souls game so bad. People should play this Atelier game. It's like 40% off right now most places, but just for that crafting thing, the moment that I understood how this crafting system worked, I was like, why is this not in every other fucking game? If Bloodborne had this, if Bloodborne let me craft a reusable, different types of reusable potions, it would have been my favorite game of all time, and it would have even fit that world really well, because it's all about like weird, you know, alchemy and science gone wrong. And so that is my feature request from Soft. Please play Atelier Ryza. Ever Darkness and the Secret Hideout is the subtitle. Please take that crafting system for consumables. Thank you. Anyway, yeah, no Elden Ring at this event, which I think we'd all kind of come to terms with before this event started.
Yeah, but Jeff Grubb put us in the
saying, I haven't seen him say this, but you told me that Jeff Grubb is saying that game is still 2020.
He was implied in a Reset Era thread that he believed it was still, I want to make sure I'm being
not.
Clear. He believed that it was still on track for holiday, which I just have a hard trouble believing. Now, I don't believe that Jeff has heard that from his sources. I have a hard trouble believing. You start to think of how things are going to get crunched.
Yeah.
I just don't know where it shows up. Like, I don't want that game to come out. Like, let Demon's Souls
breathe.
Be the big, like, marquee launch game for PS5. And let, January is just out there, just being like, open arms. Like, Christmas, I'm going to be inside all the time. I'd love to be inside, just cozying up with Elden Ring. Like,
well, you're not, though. You bought that outdoor heater.
That's
You're gonna be the king of winter, my friend.
I have an extra TV in the house now. I'm gonna set that up outside with that heater.
Oh, you're gonna tailgate, the truncated bear season.
They announced that Dragon Quest. I just want to point out like a very strange thing about this one that people have been passing around on Twitter as we were recording this is that. So the version that's coming to all platforms later in December, they announced it as an Xbox thing, but it's coming everywhere. This is a version that came out for Switch.
That's what the S and is, isn't it?
Yes, because it was like the definitive version is the Switch version. Like, here's a better one on Nintendo's platform. So, but Dragon Quest XI already came out for PlayStation 4. But this updated version is not that they took the base PlayStation 4 game and added that stuff. They're porting the Switch game to PlayStation 4. And so they had to include this little people were like putting screenshots next to each other, like, why does this look slightly worse? And so there's this caveat in like the official fact that says this version includes a number of new features that were not present in the original Dragon Quest XI for PS4, including new storylines, the ability to switch to 2D mode. I mean, this game lets you switch 3D and 2D at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
which is
I wish I cared enough to play it. Like, it sounds fucking awesome. Additional voice data. That's
voice data.
Voice data. That's so good. And more. It's a port of the Nintendo Switch version, so the graphics are not the same as they were for the original Dragon Quest XI on PlayStation 4. Please note, however, that the resolution and frame rate are at least as good as they were on the original PlayStation 4 release. That's just so...
That's so weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah. And also, if you already bought it, you don't get this stuff then. You don't get this version.
It's a new... I mean, it's like really substantive updates. It's not just, hey, here's a couple... I mean, literally, you can hit a button and switch to like an old school Dragon Warrior, like top down experience at the same time that you're exploring a big 3D world. Like, it's cool as hell if you're into 120 hour
JRPGs.
Old school JRPGs, which I don't mean that pejoratively. I just mean like there's a certain type of person who's like, yes, sign me up like for that. And I've heard that's like a really good one of those for sure.
Totally.
But I don't know. I just thought it was such a weird wrinkle. I just had to share it before we get out of here.
Yeah. Also, I saw the mech game. I saw Exomecha. It's an FPS. If I don't say this, people are going to be like, why didn't you talk about Exomecha? That's fine. It's very shiny.
I will say nothing in that. The first half of that trailer does not
set
your expectations for the fact that there are just going to be two giant mechs beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, it looks like.
I remember sitting there watching, like, I was like, I had my baby and I'm trying to deal with her while I'm watching this thing. And I'm like, I must have missed some sort of like tonal switch to explain why we became Pacific Rim.
This looked a lot like a very shiny Crysis. It looked like what if Crysis wrapped in tinfoil and then also a mech showed up. I don't know where the textures went. Like, everything just is super silvery. I don't know. It's very weird. There are textures, but you know what I'm saying. It looks fine. When it comes out, I'll try it.
The other thing I would point out of the Xbox stuff is Microsoft has like said multiple times that they want to bridge the gap between whereas Sony, like, hey, Miles Morales, like, that's not coming out on PS4. That's just PS5. And, like, that's how games have been released historically in the past during these generational switches. Microsoft's been like, hey, part of the reason that you can probably explain why Halo Infinite looks a little flat is could be partially art, could be a still game that's not done, could also very well be, hey, we have to support the original Xbox One, which is not a platform you really want to play games on anymore. And it's going to run on that. And so you can see how some limitations potentially there. But like this event showed games that they were very specific to put at the in their trailers the platforms that it supported. And it would often be, rather than just being like, hey, this is an Xbox game and enjoy it on our platforms, it would always be Windows PC, Xbox Series X, and then Xbox One. And like that's how they delineated the three platforms. And you had games like Forza, Fable, Everwild, and Avowed all said only Xbox Series X and Windows PC, and that those won't be supported by I presume that means the whole Xbox One line, including the Xbox, what is it, One X? I get my X's confused, but that just, I think that like blurs what was meant to be like a clearer sort of like picture they were trying to paint. Or your suggestion is great. Did they just show like, was half the games they showed here things we're not going to play till 2022? Which then makes you feel like very strange about all of next year, which wouldn't, that would fit the model of, you know, generational switches, which is you get a couple games at launch, the first year is pretty bad, but you're just kind of wait until the following Christmas. But it just makes it a little, I expect Sony to have like a more even keeled lineup next year, but we'll see, I guess.
I think that's probably it, unless there's any final thoughts on this. I think we can probably wrap this up. I know. We all still have the rest of the day in front of us, and we're recording later than we normally do, so that's weird. Any final thoughts before we send people home?
What's as dusk falls?
What?
What's as dusk falls?
I don't know. What is it?
Oh, it's a visual What are dust balls?
What are dust balls? Like, it does look like a visual novel. It does look like a visual novel or like a motion comic thing.
Yeah,
it looks like a Remedy cutscene.
I was like looking at it, I was like, okay, this is the cutscene. Okay, when are they going to show me like what is this game? And then it just kind of ended. And I was like, what is that? What?
I will say, like, it's rare to find genuinely a new aesthetic. You know what I mean? And although that gives me some Remedy cutscene vibes, I like mean that like really in a complimentary way. Like, I'm curious to see what it's vibing differently than I've seen most games vibe aesthetically.
This game is being made by Interior Night, which is an independent game studio of veterans from Quantic Dream and Sony. So the person who talked, Caroline Marshall, if I'm mispronouncing that last name, apologies, was on the creative team behind Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. So hopefully this is going to be one of those things where it's like, wow, without David Cage's presence and the terrible studio culture of Quantic Dream, allegedly, maybe there'll be like a lot of cool stuff here. We'll see. I don't know. It seems like it's like a generational American Southwest story is the vibe, right? It's like, here's a little girl. She grows up. There's some stuff going on with family. And there's the cops show up, you know?
Yeah. We'll see. Like a family drama with like crime at the heart of it. Yeah.
That's what it seems like.
Seems interesting. But I was just kind of left like, okay, but is it going to be like you choosing some of the actions these characters take? Or I'm curious. It had a look, it had a vibe. But I'm also kind of like, I wonder what that's actually going to be. So it's on my radar now.
Yeah. I'm curious. All right. On that note, we should wrap this up. We'll be back next week with more. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Waypoint, or go to waypoint.advice.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Gita?
At XOXOGossipGita.
Kato.
At A_Kato_appears.
Patrick. Klepik. Patrick Klepik. On Twitter. I can't hear Patrick anymore.
His mouth is moving.
His mouth is moving.
I hear him.
Patrick's been taken by the internet. Well, you can follow him on twitter.com/PatrickKlepik. Rob, how about you?
At Rob Zachney.
Thanks, Rob. Patrick said, Discord is breaking up. I said it. It's on my recording. I guess so, if you say so. As always, thank you to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. We'll be back next week with more. I hope everyone has a safe and happy and secure weekend, just generally. Shout outs to the protesters in Portland. Shout outs to the protesters everywhere in this country right now who are fucking standing up to some truly authoritarian bullshit. We are on the edge we're not on the edge. We're over the edge on a lot of stuff, and the response should be as such. So shout outs to everyone out there who is stepping out and putting their lives in. Patrick is touching the microphone. It's not working, Pat. Patrick, it's not working. I'm sorry, bud. I'm sure you have very important things to add to this conclusion. Patrick's giving me the finger, and he left. Patrick's gone. Bye to Patrick. And bye to everyone else. As always, fuck capitalism. Fuck fascism. Go home. All right.
Oh. Wow. Fucking broke. For the listeners, our call just fucking died.
Halo 2, think about it. I told this on stream. I don't know if I told this on this podcast, but Halo 2 was leaked off a French manufacturing plant ahead of that game's release and then uploaded to the internet. And this is early, like, piracy and stuff like that in video games or, like, you know, sort of like modern consoles. And I didn't know how torrents worked, but a friend in my dorm did. And I had a modded Xbox because I was reviewing games for, like, GMR and Xbox Nation and some of their magazines during college. And so he burned a copy of Halo 2 and we put it in my Xbox and we put a sign-up sheet out in front of my dorm room. And then I would allow or disallow people to come in to the room to engage in Halo 2 multiplayer before, like, 24 hours before people went and got it at the GameStop. So this is all to say, like, I spent a lot of time with Halo. I haven't gotten super into the lore, but, like, I have such a deep reverence for the franchise. And when I went and played Reach, because I felt like that was the one... Oh.
Did we all lose connection? Uh-oh. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, we're all back now.
Sorry, Patrick. That was a bad time.
No, it's fine. I got like through my story, and I'm like, wow, okay, I'll just move on to the next thing. When we froze, did anyone hear the story, my college story, or did that go away?
No, I did not hear it at all.
Sign-up sheet
is
where we left you, which is amazing, your level of organization.
Go ahead and repeat the story, even though it's in the recording.
I'll say it'll be fine.
Hello to everyone.
Hello. How's good afternoon.
Is it?
Oh, give me 1 second.
You mean good? It is afternoon.
It is afternoon.
I guess the good, it's, you know, subjective.
Sure is.
No? Is this... Check.
Yeah, you're coming through.
Could someone talk, please?
We're talking.
Hi.
We are talking now.
Well, I can't hear anything. So.
Oh, okay. Shit.
It's doing the same thing again, where it's outputting my audio through my speakers, and last time it just worked to change it to headphones. But
I'm
now
talking
I
as if you can hear me, anything. But you can't hear me, right? So...
Hang on. Does this work? Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Great, I can hear everyone.
All right.
I fixed it.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay.
Ooh, excuse me.
No worries. Okay. 3:30, Kata? Is that right?
3:30. Oh my god.
Patrick, when is your heart out?
I don't have one.
Okay.
It's beyond the scope of this podcast for sure.
Okay. I would love for this to not be a huge thing.
No, we shouldn't go for more than an hour. We should save the games you want to talk about for next week, and let's just focus on.
Let's just hit the Xbox thing and then move on. Yeah.
Unless people have I need to make a point about a game that you've been playing. That's fine. But I think otherwise, let's respect everyone's time and respect how this
Elden Ring comes up for not being there. I want to shout out a quick thing, but that's it. All right, let's talk about this. Let me try to play. 10 seconds.
No, hold on.
Wait, I gave us a lot of time. Well, maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. 15 seconds. 15.
Clapping anyway. I just want to mark it down.
15. Wait.
I did.
I'm not going to get 15.
No.
I didn't get it. Because my backup wasn't going, and I had to go start my backup.
Everyone's got excuses right now.
Yeah, it's that sort of day, dude. All right, start recording. Okay. 33. That was, there were, I counted 5 claps.
There ought to be, though. The call is laggy.
Yeah, okay. Kyle, are you all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
With that? Okay.
It's all good.
As long as Kyle is good with it, I don't give a fuck. It's we good. All right.